Well, it's Halloween, and it is. It's Halloween now, and certainly all over the country. So I've got something scary for you. You ready? Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, and you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, and would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way, and be sated with their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacence of fools destroys them. I don't know about you, but I have the distinct impression that we're about out of time. Generally. And we'll be back with L.A. Marzulli right after this on Coast to Coast AM. L.A. Marzulli, do you you feel like we're in the period of tribulation?
No. I believe that we're in the birth pangs leading up to the tribulation part. And it says, this is what we talked about in the first hour. It's like when you look at prophecy, and this is, you know, what we're talking about here. It's not, we're not talking church. We're talking, we're in a war, folks. We're in a war. You don't think so? Why do you think prophecy tells us in the latter days there'll be wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, and troublesome times? Remember, when this prophecy is written 2,000 years ago, there's no way to track any of this. In the modern era, we can track it. We see earthquakes, 7.0. I mean, look, go back 3 years ago. Just look at some graphs. Go to USGS. I can't even keep up with it anymore. I mean, the calamities that are happening in 2010 into 2011, these are the birth pangs. It's about to give birth at some point to that seven-year period known as the time of Jacob's trouble, not Ernie's trouble. It concerns Israel. It all hinges around Israel. That's why the whole common element thing to me, just another red herring. It keeps people distracted from prophecy, which is screaming at us from the Middle East right now, screaming at us.
You know, the thing that disturbs me is that I was looking at a chart of all the natural disasters that have happened in the last 100 years. You would think it would be China. It's not. It's not even close. Over 800, I think 841, have occurred just in this country. And there are many people who believe that this country was, this nation, the United States, was divinely inspired, and that we turned away from those precepts, and now we're about to get our collective rump kicked. Any commentary there?
Well, look, I agree. I mean, are you kidding me? You can't have it both ways. You can't slaughter 53 million innocents in the wombs and expect everything to be okay. You can't have a godless. What I mean by that is, you know, you even mention, let's say, creationism in the schools, and you can lose your tenure if you're a teacher. You know, we've taken anything supernatural out of a discourse. And again, I am not talking, you know, what some people want to call church or religion, talking about real spiritual warfare. I just had an email from some guy who's been abducted since he was a kid. He's going, what happens if I have the mark, you know, if they implanted me, does that mean I'm going to hell? I said, no, man. The mark is not yet in place, okay? These are prototypes. The mark, as we know this thing, the mark of the beast, is not in place yet. Don't worry about it. I'm sure there's other people who are freaking out. So, you know, I answered him back at the break in the email. But I want to talk about something because, you know, you mentioned this, what's going on now and all these signs that we're seeing. It says the days of Noah. And we know that, and this is a challenge to the skeptics out there. I want you guys to go after the show, Google on YouTube. Go to YouTube and then Google Madness in the Fast Lane, M-A-D-N-E-S, M-A-D-N-E-S-S, Madness in the Fast Lane. What you will see will astonish you. This is real footage. Over in England and the UK, they've got video cameras all up and down their freeway systems. They've also got them on their police cars, okay, the highway patrol cars. There are two twins. They're identical twins. They're very tall. And what you're going to witness, you're either looking at one of two things, where you're looking at SRA multiples, like I talked about in the first hour, or we're looking at modern-day Nephilim, one of the two. These women are hit by cars going 50 miles an hour. They get up. John, if you've never seen it, I you got to check this thing out because
I'm looking at it right now.
It's proof. And when you watch them get hit, and then the second time the woman gets hit, this car is doing 50 miles an hour, 40, 50 miles an hour. She's thrown over the hood of the car, and her head impacts the windshield. She should be dead. About 2 minutes later, she gets up, and she begins to fight the people who are trying to help her. It takes six people to get her off the road. Six people, two on each leg, and then one on each arm, three on each side. That's six people. They finally sedate her. They do blood work. There's no drugs, no alcohol in her system. So we're looking at something else, so completely different. And this is what, you know, I don't know, a lot of different paradigms out there. But when you look at this, you're looking at the face, not these women per se, but what is coming through them is something supernatural. Madness in the fast lane. And we are looking at SRA, satanic ritual abuse victims, where these altars, demonically enhanced altars, are manifesting, like, let's say, Jared Loftner might be, in my opinion, or we're looking at hybrids known as the Nephilim back on Earth again. It's one of the two. I don't know which, but it's alarming. I challenge your viewers to spend a little bit of research, a little bit of time. This is the type of stuff we're talking about. How do you war against something like that? You can't fight them physically. You've got to war with the weapons of the supernatural. And that's what the book Cosmic Chess Match talks about, how to put on that armor, how to walk in that. And I talked about last weekend doing a deliverance with four other people, you know, for 2 hours. It's no picnic. Did we get her totally free? Uh-uh, we didn't. We got her partially free. But that's that. At least we made an attempt. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about here.
You know, you and I could both make more. I know you're not about selling books. I know you're about spreading information. I'm tempted to ask you how you got into all of this, because as I started the sentence, you and I could both make more money if we opened a pizza by the slice place up on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. You know what I mean? We make a lot of money. But I got to tell you something, because I had a very similar experience. The chances, after living the life that I have lived, without going into a bunch of deep stuff here, because you know I've got family and all of that, but I've used this expression before, I was a real rock and roller, man. I really was. And the chances of me sitting here reading out of the scriptures, reading scripture and discussing this with you, if somebody had told me 25 years ago I was going to be doing this, I would have just said, you're insane. Mm-hmm. But I'll be very quick, because this show is about you and the listeners, not about me, but I will tell you this. November 16th, 2009, I crashed a motorcycle. Last thing that I saw on the speedometer was 67. I touched the front brake and it went down like that. I mean, I'm not talking wobbly or, it was like, touch the front brake, boom, you're gone.
Wow.
So here goes Wells down the freeway, touchdown 63 miles an hour.
Wow.
It ripped the sole of my left motorcycle boot halfway off, destroyed the knuckles of the armored glove on my right hand. The face shield came off the helmet, one little minor scratch, and here we are talking. Hmm. One word came out of my mouth. Guess what it was? It was Jesus.
Yep.
And it was not like, oh, Jesus, I'm going to die, save me. No, it was like he was across the yard and I called to him. The person who was following me, separated by one car, said the strangest thing happened. It seemed like control. This was on an interstate highway at 10:30 in the morning on Monday. And everybody was going abnormally fast. Control settled over everything. Boom, there's the fireman right there in an unmarked truck. 5 minutes later, the ambulance is there. 5 minutes later, I'm at the hospital. 2 hours later, I leave with a prescription for some pain pills, a CT scan, a half a dozen x-rays, and a stupid boot that I had to keep on for a few months. I'm completely recovered. Now, I spoke with a friend of the show, Stephen Quayle, about this, and I said, you know, I'd like to think that I was preserved for some sort of a reason, but that's vanity. He said, no, it's not. It's no more vanity than the fact that you and I are talking. And it's no more vanity that you and I are talking, L.A. Marzulli, about this, because every email that's coming in here, with very rare exceptions, these are people who are interested in all this stuff. I mean the E.T. stuff and the UFO stuff and the paranormal stuff and all that, but they are very, very interested in this. So take us farther down the road.
Well, what people need to understand is that prophecy tells us there's going to be a one-world government and a one-world religious system, okay? And I've talked about this before, but I'll say it again, and it's in all my books, You know, you can check it out, LAMarzulli.net. Plug, plug, plug. Shameless plug, okay?
Shame
I got to keep the lights on. I got to buy chicken. But
understood.
The bottom line is this. We're told one world government, one world religious system. We can see the one world government starting. But how do you get 1.8 billion Christians, 1.4 billion Muslims, a billion Hindus, and then, you know, a potpourri of everybody else all on the same page? You've got to have something that is so over the top, so unique, so different than any other thing, any other event in all of history. And guess what's coming? It's E.T., but it's not E.T. These are fallen beings. They are fallen angels. Look, it says that even the elect would be deceived at that were possible. Men faint from fear from what is coming on the earth. I'm telling you this a priori, before the event happens. So when it happens, you can look back at the show and go, that L.A. Marzulli guy was telling this stuff years before it happened. It's the one event which can change everything, and it fits right into what I was – it's move. Counter-move, cosmic chess match, move, counter-move. Darwinism is a move which chips away at the foundations of the Western world. There is no supernatural, right? It's all the empirical, what I can see, taste, feel, touch, that type of deal. It's all the empirical. Darwinism sets up a new paradigm. So when they show up, people, and it says this in Scripture, people will believe the lie. That's what it says. It says right there. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. We are in a war, a cosmic war, a supernatural war with entities that eventually, and I believe sooner than later, will manifest on this earth, and thus the great deception and this one more religious system will be set up, and it will all be an ET-based deal. That's just my scenario, and the Cosmic Chess Match talks about that. Going back to the madness in the fast lane, there's a link in the book to that too. I challenge you to look at that. Challenge your audience. Check that out. Tell me what I'm looking at.
I just looked at it. It's strong. No, it's strong. It's really strong. I just watched the thing. This woman in the red sweater looking thing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. There's not a mark on her, and she got smacked big time. I mean, this was contact with a highway speed vehicle.
Yeah.
And she's just running around pushing. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
I have to ask you this. What led you to do this? I mean, both of our backsides are out on the clothesline with something like this, some would say. I don't care. I really don't. I don't think you do either. But how you're perceived, you're speaking truth. You are stating history. It is written. These things that you're discussing have been written. What led you to do this?
Well, 31 years ago, I had a very bizarre experience when I accepted Yeshua in the privacy of my own room. And I write about this in the Cosmic Chess Match, but I write the whole testimony of what I went through. Like you, if you had told me 31 years ago I'd be sitting there talking about the stuff, I would have run to the nearest exit. There's no way. And, you know, my background is from the occult. I come from the other side, so I know what I speak. My third eye was open. I had a guru for 3 years. I astral projected. I had spirit guides. I mean, I went through the whole New Age nonsense. I was at Woodstock, and yes, I did inhale, unlike our former president. So, you know, I've been around the block. And this event happened 31 years ago after exhausting myself through all these other spiritual disciplines and things. And this is why I'm able to talk to people in their own language from the other side of the eye, the whole spiritual New Age deal. I've been there. I had spirit guides. You know, I astral projected. I know what this stuff is. My third eye was open. I felt the Kundalini awakening and all this other stuff. But it's all deception. And when you get the real thing, it's like night and day. You know, and I wasn't at church. I just asked, and it happened. There's a woman I'm working with now, and this just recently. And, you know, stuff is moving around in her home. She's had all sorts of encounters, and she believes they're benevolent beings, these you know, entities, these ET types, okay? And I said, well, do you know how to test the spirits? And she doesn't know how to test the spirits. And I said, it's very simple. Just ask them very simply, did Yeshua come in the flesh, and watch the reaction? See, most people don't know that. When you ask, it's like a friend of mine, Andy on the Edge AM. It's his analogy. I'll give him credit. If someone comes to your door at 2:30 in the morning and knocks on it, we don't let them in, do we?
No.
You know, what do you want? What are you doing here? Maybe we get the shotgun out, you know, give it a little click, and what are you doing here type of thing. Why then are we so willing to allow entities into us, or believe what they're saying, Why should we believe in a system, going back to the Mayans, that slaughtered, ritualistically slaughtered 70,000 people? Why should we believe their calendar? Consider the source. And that's the whole point of the Cosmic Chess Match. Consider the source. It's move, counter move, move, counter move, all throughout thousands of years. And that's what the book shows. Move, counter move, move, counter move. And we're here. And this thing is being played out. We're about to see the final moves of the game. Checkmate happened 2,000 years ago on a hill in Calvary. But the fallen one is so demented and so depraved. Look, when you read Revelation 19:19, okay, it says that the beast, the Antichrist, assembles the kings of the earth. Get this now. Get this. On the plains of Megiddo. And what are they doing? They're looking up. They're looking up. Why? Because they believe that somehow they can defeat the rider on the white horse coming down with the armies of heaven. Now, people go, oh, that's just mythos. Oh, really? Then why should we believe the Sumerians? You see, which mythos are we going to believe? Which mythos has prophecies written for thousands of years that are coming on the world stage exactly with the same specificity that they were written thousands of years ago, happening right in front of us now? Not Nostradamus, with all due respect to Nostradamians, which are fuzzy. You know, one man. These are by many different authors with no collusion, and yet we see that this prophetic thread is continuous for thousands of years, and now in our day, it's happening, manifesting right in front of us. I'd find it alarming. The place to look is Israel in the Middle East.
Let's bounce around a little bit here. These hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with these hybrids? People want to know about. There have been several emails come in that want you to talk about these hybrid creatures.
Mm-hmm. Love to.
What are they hybrids of?
The fallen one is outnumbered 2-1. He's building an army. He's outnumbered 2-1. He's building an army. That's Chuck Mills' quote, not mine. I asked Chuck. I said, Chuck, are there modern Nephilim? Sure. Satan's out. The fallen one. Satan's outnumbered 2-1. He's building an army. Thanks, Chuck. No hesitation. No rumination on his part. Just bam. He's outnumbered 2-1. He's building an army. As in the days of Noah, so will be when the Son of Man returns. What differentiates those days are the fallen ones. What do the fallen ones do? Genesis 6. Again, I'm quoting scripture, but understand, I'm just giving you the street address where you can go look it up for yourself. And this is all found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Thousands of years old, these texts are. The Book of Enoch tells us that these fallen beings came to earth, landed on Mount Hermon. And by the way, this is David Flynn's research. When you take Mount Hermon and you go to the polar opposite, you wind up where? In Roswell, New Mexico. Thank you, David Flynn. Wish he'd get back in the game. Hope he's on the mend. He's got some medical things, and it's, you know, anyway, keep him in your prayers. But the bottom line is this. The Nephilim were here. This hybrid of fallen angels and human women created by Nephilim. That's the reason for the flood. Go look, and I challenge your listeners, Google Baalbek, Baalbek. It's in Lebanon. And look at the largest stones. Some weigh at 1,400 tons to 1,800 tons. You don't get up on a Monday morning and decide to just, we're going to go, you know, get some stones and create a temple. Baloney. And these ancient megalithic monuments are all over the planet. They were here, these Nephilim, for over 400 years. I believe that they constructed Baalbek. It's their handiwork. These guys, is Steve Quayle, and you know Steve. Steve Quayle estimates, and I love his book, Giants, 35 feet. Some of these guys could have been. Let's be conservative. Let's say they're only 20 feet. But go back to Madness in the Fast Lane, and they're demonically enhanced beings, half human, half fallen angel. That's what we're looking at.
Well, I hope
that that's what we're going to see.
Well, if it wasn't for that thing, makes me wonder about that motorcycle crash. But somehow I think I'm clear. Okay, I don't want any of that. I really don't. We're going to continue our conversation with L.A. Marzulli, a great book, The Cosmic Chess Match, on Coast to Coast AM. We'll continue our discussion right now with L.A. Marzulli. What about the Nephilim? Tell us a little more about the Nephilim. I've got a few emails in here. One of them is asking, wasn't Archangel Michael a Nephilim?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, good. And here's a good one.
At the break, there was I received an email, which is, I haven't heard from David or his wife, Brenda. But basically, David Flynn is a researcher. His book, Temple at the Center of Time, is just a fantastic book. I have it in my library. David also gave just tons and tons of research. He really led the way into some of what many of us stand on his shoulders, and he's recovering from brain surgery. So for your audience, if you want to check him out, go just Google David Flynn or go to www.mt.net, M-T, mountaintime.net, and check out the David's stuff. Really, just our prayers are with you, David, if you're listening, and thanks, Brenda, for getting a hold of us. But look, basically the Nephilim, this goes back, and before David Flynn, there was like Pember and other people from hundreds of years ago, C.S. Larkin. People have been looking at the Nephilim and looking at this very enigmatic and strange passage found in Scripture. But then we also get it from the Book of Enoch, and we find that 200 angels descended on Mount Hermon in the days of Jared. It's interesting to note that when Yeshua walks the earth, there's a thing that he actually goes to, I believe, the same mountain, and there happens the transfiguration. He's taking back the territory. I mean, everything he does is very deliberate. He's taking back the territory. But getting back on point here, the Nephilim, are, in my opinion, is the byproduct, the end result of fallen angels having sex with the women of Earth. Now, there are many people that don't believe that. That's fine. But I believe that that's exactly what happened. People say, well, angels can't have sex. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that. It just says we're not given in marriage. In fact, in the Genesis account and also afterwards, I believe it happened over and over and over again. The fallen one continues to try to mess with the gene pool. And this is what his objective has been from day one. There are those believe that it's not happening today, that they can believe what they want to believe. I don't believe that. I believe that the modern abduction phenomena mirrors what happened back in Genesis 6. Are the Nephilim going to be 20-foot giants? Look, and I'm going to tell you guys this, and I can't tell you the source. I can't vet the source. It's a secondhand source, and I can't vet it, at least not right yet. This is the type of stuff that makes great radio. But I get a lot of stuff across my desk. This was a face-to-face with a person that I trust. And I'm not going to tell you who it was or where he was or anything else, but it was face-to-face with a person fairly recently who informed me that there was someone that he's known for like 20 years. And just recently, this guy got with Special Forces, and he's known that for 20 years. But recently, the guy started like maybe clearing his conscience. Can't tell you, right? He was telling me, and, you know, this is an incredible story, and I realize that. Makes great radio. But the bottom line is he was in Area 51. And there were, according to him, there are 7 levels, and each of those levels have sub-levels. He never got down to the lowest one, but he was down in one level, and there was a group of what I would term super soldiers, using his words, super soldiers, and these were giants. They were sitting down. They were several yards, like 30, 40 yards away, and they were seated, and there was a group of them, 4, 5, or 6 of these guys. And they were huge. He estimates they were well over 10 feet tall. So, you know, it's interesting. It's a colorful story. I can't vet that story. The reason why I went with it tonight is because we keep hearing it. I keep hearing these stories over and over and over again. This is secondhand. I'm trying to get to the person and see if he'll even come on the record just, you know, with just a tape recorder. And, you know, he can disguise his voice or whatever. We'll see if he'll do that. So, you know, in my opinion, the same stuff that happened back in Genesis 6, because what is prophecy tells us? It tells us that it'll be like the days of Noah when the Son of Man returns. What differentiates the days of Noah is the presence of a Nephilim on the planet. And here we are. And this is what's going on, in my opinion.
Well, if we're just in the ramping up phase of the tribulation, what is this going to go on? You think, just looking into the crystal ball, well, mine's always in the shop. I can't get anything out of it. Are we looking at 10 years of, are we looking at like 2-3 years of buildup to where the situations that we're dealing with now are going to continue and gain speed for 3 years and then it really hits the fan? Is that what we're looking at here?
I mean, these are just the birth pangs. We're not in the tribulation. The tribulation is a 7-year period. We're not there yet. It's a full 7-year period, and we're leading up to that. These are birth pangs, in my opinion. And they're happening faster and faster and faster. You know, not only look, if Cat LeBlanc or Eyjafjallajökull Hokel or Grímsvötn in Iceland or the one in Canary Islands, or, you know, take your pick. Yellowstone. Stan Day was telling me recently that there's a gag order in Yellowstone. He told me that on my show when I had my radio show. It's just like there's a gag order. And, you know, people in Yellowstone aren't talking about what's going on. Well, why is that? Are they afraid that that caldera may go? The Grímsvötn volcano in Iceland. One of these things goes, John, and it turns the world upside down. We're in the nuclear winter here. We're into a place where, you know, the crops won't ripen. And when you read Enoch 80, that's exactly what it talks about. The Inuit people, we talk about this in Watchers 3, which is coming out towards the end of Thanksgiving. But the Inuit talk about the sun wrong, the moon's wrong, the winds are wrong, the snow drifts are wrong, everything's wrong. Now, the Inuit are in touch with the land. They've been doing this for centuries. They know, and they're saying something's up. You know, the idea of two suns in the sky. What the heck is that about? The perturbances of the moon. The bird die off, the fish die off. The volcanic activity, the earthquakes that occur almost on a weekly basis, 7.0 or greater. The Fukushima radioactivity, which is now, you know, you're selling detection devices. My God, we need them. We're not being told the truth. Remember when it happened? Oh, everything's fine. Oh, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Now we find out, no, it's not fine. It's at least, and I'm being extremely conservative, 30 times worse, more severe than what happened in Chernobyl. And I'm being extremely conservative with that. I mean, it's nasty. And you throw into that the general unrest, the general malaise in the populations all over the globe. I mean, is Thailand sinking? I mean, you've seen pictures of that. Is Thailand sinking? Vietnam sinking? I mean, the monsoons, well, what's, you know, they got the Bangkok is like flooded. And on and on and on and on and on it goes. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen the world in such a tenuous, unprecedented position that it finds itself in as we speak. And I believe these are the birth pangs. And, you know, it's funny, people don't want to hear this stuff, but it's all been prophesied before for thousands of years. And the UFO deception is real, and I believe it is the coming great deception. It's the game changer. When they show up, it changes everything. It'll change, unless you know what you're looking at, it will change your paradigm like that. You will believe the lie. You see a three-mile-wide craft? You know, oh, and people want to see a three-mile-wide craft, what a three-mile-wide craft looks like? Go to Google on YouTube. Okay, go to YouTube, rather, and do a search on NASA, N-A-S-A, NASA tether incident. And what you will see is a large craft going behind an object, which is 70 miles away from the space shuttle. That object was tethered to the space shuttle. The tether somehow mysteriously broke, and this long metallic object is out in space. And you will watch, the tether is, I think, is 7 miles long, something like that. You will see a large object from the left hand of the screen pulsing as it goes behind the tether. It's not space junk, folks, or ice particles, because it goes behind the tether. Basic laws of physics. It's behind the tether. It's 70 miles away. That baby is at least 3 miles wide.
And this is NASA tether incident?
NASA tether incident.
Okay, and tell us again the deal that happened on the highway. My brain's fried.
It's called madness. Madness. Like crazy mad. M-A-D-N-E-S-S. Madness, yep. In the fast lane.
Go in to the YouTube fast lane. Gotcha.
And do a search under madness in the fast lane. Are we looking at one of two things? Modern day Nephilim or SRA, satanic ritual abuse victims? We don't know. But you watch them get up and start fighting. And you tell me what we're looking at. You don't think the supernatural's real? Good luck.
I just saw it, and it's not staged. There's nothing staged about it.
No, it's not staged at all.
I got a quick one for you. Somebody asked a while ago, look, if it turns out that you, is there any way to find out if you're hybrid? And if you are you automatically damned?
First of all, I guarantee that you're not a hybrid. I guarantee it. The fact that you're asking, it tells me that you're not a hybrid, so you don't have to worry about it. I get this all the time.
Do you really?
Trust me, you're not a hybrid. Trust me. You're not a hybrid, okay?
Okay, good.
These other two women, I'm not so sure what we're looking at. I have no idea.
I'll tell you what, it's freaky. I invite anybody, you know, go ahead and try. You may want to blow up the server, but no kidding. It's madness in the fast lane. Just go to the search box at YouTube and take a look. This is really something else. I've never seen anything like it, ever.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was dumbfounded. I show that when I'm out lecturing. And, you know, you can hear a pin drop in the place. People just sit there. It's mind-numbing. It's absolutely mind-numbing. And look, we're, in my opinion, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it's got a supernatural component to it on some level. That much I believe. It is not, you know, we talked about what's your definition of supernatural. That ain't natural. You don't get up, and she's hit twice. Both twins are hit twice by cars going in excess of 40, 50 miles an hour. They should have sustained injuries and all this other stuff. And this, you know, the one is run over by an 18-wheeler.
Man.
Yeah. An 18-wheeler, and she's getting up trying to fight the police as her leg is broken. Compound fracture, and she's trying to fight off the help. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
This always happens. I got to take a break, don't I, LA Control? Anyway, let's take one right now and then come back with LA Marzulli. This is so much fun. I can't believe 4 hours is almost gone, but I'm John B. Wells, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We shall return. What do you think the likelihood is of some sort of a nuclear incident here within the next, say, 24 months? There's one out of left field for you. It looks to me like that's the one thing that we haven't had to experience yet. So it seems like it might be first up on the board.
Yeah, I'm actually expecting something very similar to that in this country. False flag type deal, another 9/11, another way to take more freedoms away from us. Whether it's staged or not, don't know. I believe that there's, and I write about this in Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, I believe that there's between 2 and 20 suitcase nukes left over from the old Soviet Union that have been smuggled across the southern border and that are in place. It's interesting. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, about 6-8 months ago, Hillary Clinton gets up on a Monday morning and talks about, you know, sanctioning Iran and everything else. And Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, president of Iran, saber-rattles back and said, you know, we're attacked. You shut down our nuclear program. We will destroy American cities. Why is he saying that? Why would he say that at all? And there's a whole theory about, you know, quid pro quo with bin Laden, because bin Laden had a fatwa, religious decree from an imam to use weapons of mass destruction against the infidel, against men, women, and children. And so he had that. And so the question is, you know, when he was in Pakistan, was he in Iran for a period of time? A lot of people think that he actually was before he went back to Pakistan. Who knows what the trail is? But why would Ahmadinejad stand up and say something absurd like that? I believe that they're embedded. Between 2 and 20 are already in the country. Will it be another Building 7 like 9/11? Who knows? But, you know, it's something's about to happen. That's what I think.
Yeah, that suitcase nuke, that's the holy grail of... terror weapons, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you'll excuse the pun. Well, and while we're on that subject, and it's not just I don't think you're sitting here trying to sell books. I think you're trying to sell books, spread the word via your books and via coming on to programs like this. Oh, wait a minute. That's program like this, because there isn't any other program like this. And I got to tell you, 952 emails tonight.
Wow.
952. That's a lot of them.
Huh.
Do you know we are woefully remiss, as my friend Dale says up in Montana. We are woefully remiss in our preparedness here. According to the AMA, if we had any sort of an incident like that, a significant incident, 4 years is what it would take to test 100,000 people seriously for radionuclides, using every medical facility that we have in the 50 states. 6 years. This is the AMA released this. It'd have to, most of it have to go through CDC, and 6 years to test, to sufficiently test ground, you know, the dirt and water. So, you know, I'm not necessarily I was about to say I'm not a fatalist, but this has happened. This has happened twice already. Both times there were reactor meltdowns.
Yep.
Our reactors are not in very good shape. Many of them need to be rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
They're just now taking apart those nuclear, what were they, B-53s, that thing that's some ridiculously exponential number of megatons more than the Hiroshima bomb.
Yeah.
They've just taken that thing apart up north, and I'm very concerned about it. And that's about all I can be, is concerned. What do we do, L.A.? Do we just wait?
Well,
I mean, is there any action that can be taken? I mean, obviously, marching in the streets is not going to cut it. What do we do?
There's two things we need to do, and I've spoke almost for 3 hours, and I think I've earned the right to tell you what I think. You know,
absolutely, you have.
without trying to sound preachy, two things to do on a very practical level: food and water, food and water, food and water. 4 to 6 months worth of food and water Berkey water filters, dehydrated foods, whatever. Cans of beefaroni. You know, when you're hungry, can't eat gold, but you can certainly eat the beefaroni. So, you know, rice, beans, you can live off that. But there's something more. If the cosmic chess match and everything we've talked about, and look, we've only scratched the surface of what the book really gets into, and the object of the book is to warn people of what is coming. There is a war. There's a cosmic war. There's a battle that's going on. We know in advance who wins. The checkmate happened at the cross 2,000 years ago when Yeshua gave his life, gave his blood for us, okay, for all mankind. That checkmate happened then. You might not believe that, but it happened. Don't believe me? Do a modicum of research on the Shroud of Turin. I challenge your audience. Just do a modicum of research and look at the absolute unbelievable structure of the Shroud and what's on the Shroud. And then decide on which side you're going to fight on the war. I mean, there are covens that know of what I speak. They know who they serve, and they serve willingly the other side, willingly, with animal and human sacrifice. It's going on. This is one of our high holidays. Samhain. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. The battle is real. You need to decide what side you're going to fight on. You can't sit on the fence forever. You got to understand that the deception that's coming will deceive the elect if that were possible. And I'm not talking religion here. I'm talking about, you know, you ask him, look, there's a woman I'm dealing with now. And, you know, and she just asked, and her life's beginning to change. And that's what will happen. That's the miracle of it. That's the supernatural element to that. I challenge your listeners. Don't take my word for it. It's not sitting in some pew someplace watching a guy drone on and on and on. Well, that's necessary sometimes because, okay, you can hear the word. Most of the time you don't hear the word. You hear something else. So that's the two things that we need to do. Decide which side you're going to fight on and begin to fight on one side or the other.
We must do this again sometime. Thank you very much for being here, my friend.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, thanks to Art, who started it all, George, the men and women at LA Control, Princess Lisa Lyon, and especially you, the best and most engaged listeners on this or any other planet. Until we meet again, make sure you know what side of the line you're on. Looks to me like we're running short of time. Until next time. John B. Wells saying good night and adios.